Amen. Sounds kind of strange there, Mr. Rick. Okay, let's try it now. Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. And amen. I definitely love that song. The reality is God has been good. And God has been good to us all. Sometimes we see it. Sometimes we even say we're thankful for it. And the title of this morning's message is, Does God Expect Us to Say Thank You? Does God expect us for us to say thank you? And it's kind of interesting the day and time that we live in. Different people have different opinions about thank you and thank you notes. It's Luke chapter number 17. And it's amazing. Some people feel like if they don't get a thank you or a thank you note, they don't want to give anymore. I'm thankful that God doesn't work that way. I'm thankful that sometimes even when we don't appreciate it, that he still works. And it's an interesting question. Is it something of the past? Is it something that still happens? I know we get thank you notes for different things that people do and thank yous and the acknowledgement of that somebody has done something nice to you. And the difference between being thankful and being grateful. And I sit there and I listen in the Bible and I read in the Bible, and the Bible tells us obviously God does want to say thank you. The Bible even says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So the obvious answer is yes, God wants us to be thankful. God wants us to be grateful. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." It says with thanksgiving. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever," the psalm says. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he even says in Hebrews 13, 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So as we come to this moment in time where we're looking forward to a Thanksgiving season, it's amazing how sometimes people have taken and manipulated things and just changed the meaning of things. I think about Thanksgiving and how it's supposed to be a day of thanks, but then they have that consumer things that happen on Black Friday and nobody really is giving thanks. Instead, they're being greedy lots of times. And don't get me wrong, I'm not condemning Black Friday shopping. Me and my wife had done that many times, stood out there in the lines in the freezing cold and things like that to get a good deal because we want to be good stewards. But it's amazing how they've taken something that was supposed to be thankful and say, "Hey, you need this. Don't be content with what you have. Don't be content with what you can give. You can do so much more." And in this story, and this is a classic passage when people talk about thankfulness. It's been years since we looked at this passage. But it talks about those 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And that one turned around and glorified God and said, "Thank you." And how the other 9 didn't. And Jesus asked this specific question, "Where are the 9? And I want to think about this for a little bit this morning. Does God expect us to say thank you? I think when we say thankful, we're in God's will. What do you mean? Well, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So the answer is yes, God does expect us to be thankful and that we should give thanks in everything. So when we're being thankful, you know what happens? That means we're at least in that portion in the will of God. Also, I find it interesting that we're being Christ-like when we give thanks. A number of times in the Bible, Christ himself stopped and gave thanks. Now, if Jesus Christ is going to stop and give thanks to the Father, don't you think we should? If he's going to take the time to say, one of the times is when he was getting ready to feed the 5,000, and it says he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and disciples to the multitude. John chapter 6, and Jesus took the loaves that when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And so it's an amazing thought that Jesus would take time to give thanks. I think he gives us a pattern, shows us even before our meals that we should be thankful, even the night before he died. When he was instituting the Lord's Supper, it actually talks about how he stopped and he gave thanks. He took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Luke chapter 22, "And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." So it's even during blessings, when God knows he's getting ready to provide for the multitudes with just a little bit of loaves and fishes. And even when we're facing hard times, Jesus gives us this example. Facing crucifixion, facing the cross, he stops and he gives thanks. And I think it's important for us to remember what he says in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We can't always be glad about our circumstances, but we can always be thankful. And we can always be thankful. Praise the Lord for that. So let's jump in here. And Luke chapter number 17, I'm going to start in verse number 11. I think we're going to tell the story as a commentary as it goes along, stop in most of the verses and give you a little explanation. And then we'll look at this thought. Does God expect us to say thank you? Verse number 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. So one thing, we could stop and just give praise to the Lord. He's heading to Jerusalem. What's he heading to Jerusalem to do? He's heading to Jerusalem to die for the sins of mankind. He's heading for the whole purpose why he came. Yes, there was a babe in the manger, which we're celebrating here in a little while. We should be celebrating all year long, obviously, but we're celebrating. But it didn't stop with the babe in the manger. It went all the way to Calvary. It's from Christmas to Calvary. And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't really understand what that means that God himself, the Son of God, came and took on the form of a man. And he lived a perfect life for 33 years and was willing to be God's sacrifice for the payment of sin to the whole world. And that's what he's saying. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. So he's there. He's stopped by 10 lepers, and they're trying to get him to show mercy on them. They're asking Jesus for a favor. They're asking Jesus to heal them. And Jesus doesn't stay so focused on himself and focused on what he knows is ahead. He's stopped and willing to help him, just like he helps us. And when we come and we consider all the things that we can be thankful for, one of the things that we all say usually is if we know Christ as our Savior, is for our salvation. We're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to glory. We're on our way to being to a place where God designed for us. Praise the Lord for that. And that's why he says he's going on the way to Jerusalem. When he gets to Jerusalem, they're going to have this mock trial. Judas is going to sell him, and Judas is going to tell him where he's at. It's not as if Jesus was hiding anyway. And they have a mock trial. They condemn him, and they crucify him on a cross, and he dies. Even while dying, he saves that thief that's dying next to him. They put him in the grave, but the grave couldn't hold him. 3 days later, he arises from the dead. He rose from the dead. And praise the Lord, he paid our sin debt for us. I mean, that's something to be thankful for. If that's the only thing he ever did for us, the only thing he ever gave to us, well, we should be rejoicing all the time. That the idea of having the continually in our mouth, talking about let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Today, you can know Christ. I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life, but the Bible tells us you're either a Christian and on your way to heaven, or you're headed to a horrible place called hell. So, well, I'm a good person. We were talking yesterday. Brother Jim was my visitation partner, and we sat and we talked to a guy probably about 15 or 20 minutes, and we were having a conversation, and Brother Jim was the main person that began the conversation. As he was talking to him, he asked the guy if he knew if he was a Christian or not, or if he'd ever been saved, and the guy talked about his good life that he lived. He talked about, yeah, I'm doing the best I can. I'm not perfect. He was being honest and open and a nice man. And Brother Jim was trying to impress upon him that the Bible says there's a moment in time in our life when we say that we know that we're a sinner and in need of a Savior, and we call out to him and ask him to save us. And Brother Jim did a good job talking to him. I talked to him for a little while too. Didn't really come to a decision whether or not he had ever done that. Never gave a moment and said, you know what? I got saved 20 years ago. I remember the evening I got saved. It was a Saturday night. I was in Elkton, Maryland at Baptist Bible Church. I was sitting probably kind of in the area over here where the Brandenburgs and Miss Karen was sitting close to the front. First time in my life, I remember conviction fell upon me. The preacher was preaching, and I thought I remember the preacher preaching something else, but they went back and looked in the records, and he was preaching about the second coming of Christ. And I knew that I didn't want to leave that place without knowing for sure that I was going to heaven. God convicted me in my heart, and he says that I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus Christ, what he did on that cross. And I, as an 8 or 9 year old boy, down here on the front row in Elkton, Maryland, asked Christ to save me. And I'm thankful for that. If you're here today, you can say, I don't have that testimony. There's never been a day or a moment or a time in my life when I repented of my sins, when I knew that I was a sinner, I was sorrowful for my sin, and I asked Christ to save me. Just knowing the gospel. And even the gentleman said yesterday, I believe. And the standard answer for that is pretty much everybody believes something. The Bible even talks about how the devils believe and how they even tremble. And I said, it's more than just believing that there is a God. It's having a personal relationship with God. It's saying, I know that I need God, and I know I can't save myself, and I'm asking you to save me. And you know what? If you ask him, he will. We're thankful for that, aren't we? That we have something to rejoice in today. And I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, all of us was in that boat someday. It didn't matter. As that 8 or 9 year old boy, I had been going to church all my life. I'd heard the gospel message a number of times. But for the first time in my life, God convicted my heart and said, that's something you need. And maybe God's tugging at your heart this morning and saying, hey, that's something you need also. Get it settled. You're going to have invitation time in a little while. So what's an invitation time? It's when we ask people to come forward if God's spoken to their heart. Many times it's just people at the altar praying about the things that they've heard. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we'd love to take a Bible, and they'll take you to the back so you can take as much time as you want, ask as many questions, and show you from the Bible that the Bible says we're all sinners and that we're all in need of a Savior. And that all of us, someday will stand before God and give an account of what we did with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you, don't miss that. That's when it says in verse number 11, he went to Jerusalem. They weren't just trying to tell you, hey, he was headed in this direction at this point in time. No, they were saying, he's headed to the cross. And as we consider being thankful, we remember he is headed to the cross. And as he's headed to the cross, boy, we have so much to be thankful for because he died for us. We could not save ourselves. He paid a debt that we could not pay because we owed a debt that we could not pay. Verse number 12, and as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, leprosy was a horrible disease, still is a horrible disease, but for the most part, it's something that's fairly treatable in most of the known world, but there are still some places that deal with leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible disease that would dismember and disfigure your face and your body, at least toward its latter stages. It would be something that would kill you, and there was no cure for it. Even so contagious that they would not let you be amongst the community. If you were a leper back in Bible times in this area, you could not become near anybody else. You would have to yell something like, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. It's sort of like if you have COVID and someone comes and knock on your door, go away, I'm unclean, I got COVID, stay away. You don't want anybody to catch it or get it. But back then it was even 10 times more serious to how contagious it was and how they would just say, don't come anywhere near me. There's no cure. We don't want you to have the sickness that we have. We hear these 10 men, and they're crying out. It says in verse number 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. And then they call him Master. Usually people like to talk nice and pretty to people when they want something. And they've heard something about Jesus. They believe that Jesus can heal them. They believe that Jesus has the power to, or they probably would never ask Jesus, Master. And then they asked for something. They said, have mercy on us. They want Jesus to do something that they don't really deserve. They realize that Jesus doesn't have to, but they asked for mercy. It's not there's an expectation. I think some of the times we live in this world today, there are so many people that have certain expectations. When they don't get their way, you know what? They throw a fit. Sometimes they riot. Sometimes they steal. Sometimes they do crazy things. But there's a lot of people that live expecting, I deserve this, this, and this, and I'm not going to be thankful for any of those things. But the Bible tells us that we're dependent upon God for all the needs that we have. He even says, give us this day our daily bread. And what is he saying when we pray that in that model prayer? We're saying that every portion of our life is dependent upon God. Even the things that we are most basic, and usually everybody has some bread in their house or some form, unless they're on some type of low-carb diet, they have some type of form of bread in their house because it's a basic staple. God says, I want you to recognize that not only do you need me for the big things in life, like have mercy on me, you need me for the little things too. And be thankful. That's why most people that I know, they pray before they eat. What are they doing? They're giving thanks. Why is that? Well, Jesus gave a pattern for that. But also, it's a time where we recognize, God, if it were not for you, I would not have this food. If it were not for you, I wouldn't have hands to pick it up and put it to my mouth. If it were not for you, I wouldn't be even here. And we're just thankful. We're taking time to say, thank you, Lord, for providing this for me. But they're asking for something a little different. They're asking for the thing that no one else can do. And praise the Lord, we serve a God that can do the things that nobody else can do. Thankful for that. And when we come to God and he says, have mercy on us. And then it says in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now, this is interesting because in the Jewish law specifically, that if there was somebody who had leprosy, the only way they could enter back into their homes and into their communities is by having the priest look over them again and say, hey, you've been healed, you've been cleaned, or you've been healed. And it came to pass that as they went, so they were being obedient, they listened to Jesus, what Jesus says, as they went, they were being obedient. There's a principle there. You'll get understanding as you obey. You don't have to obey. I mean, you don't have to understand before you obey. It's important. Scripture teaches us so many things. So I don't understand that. Begin to obey, and then God will reveal things unto you. Even if God doesn't reveal it unto you, it's still right to obey. And they could have said, why do you want us to go to the priest? We have all these diseases. We have all these marks. We have all these problems. You don't see them complaining. You see them going. And as they go, the Bible says they were cleansed. We read stories like this, but we forget how powerful God really truly is. He is amazing. He is able to heal. He is able to cleanse. He is able to do all things. So don't forget that when you have a God that you can say, well, God's not doing everything I want him to. You don't have to tell God how to do things. He's God. He's able to do it. And we can be thankful for that. Come to verse number 15. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. They gave God praise. There was one that saw as they were going and they were taking off and they were heading to the priest. They realized he was cleansed. And then he gave thanks. He glorified God. And he says, praise God. You know, I've been healed. And then you see it's a step farther. He doesn't only just do that. It says, and fell down at his face at his feet. So they were far off. They were heading to the priest. It seems as if he would have came back, and he falls down on his face and at Jesus' feet. And what does it say that he does? It says, giving him thanks. Man, that's amazing that there was someone who stopped to give thanks for what Christ had done. And then you see the next part, and he was a Samaritan. When we read that he was a Samaritan and Jesus had told him to go to the priest, we assume the other nine were Jews. Now, the Jews and Samaritans, they didn't hang out with each other. They pretty much hated each other. They had a great distaste for each other. They would call each other names and they wouldn't spend time with one another any way, shape, or form. But when there's leprosy there, they would sometimes pack together. It seems like that they received this Samaritan here. Jesus was sitting there, and he says in verse 17, and answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? I remember, I don't know how many years ago, and that was about 16 years ago, I think John Hamlin came and he preached a revival here in a Sunday school class. He preached, where are the 9? And he talked about 9 people that were out of church and where they were at. And he talked about different things that keep people out of church or things like that. And that was a long time ago. But I never forgot, but there are 9 people that were there and did not say thank you. Now, you think about it. If you would have caught up to those 9 people, would they have said they were thankful? Yeah. Would they have said they were grateful? Of course they're grateful for what he did. But they never took the time to say thanks. And then that's what even Jesus brings us up. It's not the fact that he's not thankful for the one to say it. It's the fact he says, where are the 9? And it says in verse number 18, they are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. So there was people who did not take the time to put God and lift God up to where he belongs, except for this one. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith had made thee whole. So what the scripture is saying is that all 10 of them received physical healing. But as this man comes and falls on his face and he puts his faith and he puts his trust in what Jesus is doing and he has faith and trust in God, he's saying to that one, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He's not just talking about a physical healing. He's talking about a spiritual healing, I believe. It's talking about the other nine. They might have went their ways. They might have left their ways. And they did all the things. And now they can go back to their families. They can go back into community. They can go back in their home. And for this world, they got everything they need. But they missed something that was so important that they never understood they needed. It's to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And even though in this world today there are a lot of people that are getting all their things and their needs met here today, they're missing the whole point. Their greatest need that they have is a spiritual need that is without Christ, and they need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And this man who was a Samaritan was one who not only received physical healing but spiritual healing. They probably thought they had everything they needed. And I'm sure they were thankful. I'm sure they were grateful. They just never acknowledged it. And as they're leaving, they don't even take time to say, thank you for what you did. So this morning, I like to think about this for a little while. Does God expect us to say thank you? I mean, does he? I mean, is it really that big of a deal? And I know most people in this room are probably a little bit older than me. There are some younger people in the room. As the generations has changed, I've seen thankfulness and gratefulness change so much. There are people out there, there's expectations. The government will tell you you deserve free health care or good health care, and you deserve food, and you deserve. And once again, these are basic needs, but there are things that we should work for, too. I understand programs that are necessary, and I think a lot of those things are supposed to come through the church, but a lot of those things have changed nowadays. And we come to this moment in time, are we truly thankful? And does God really want to hear us say thank you? And how often do we say thank you? I mean, he does say in his word, in everything give thanks. He does say giving thanks always. He does say, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, give thanks to his name. And it's amazing that Jesus here at the beginning says, in verse number 18, he says, dare not have found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He got this, and this what was this man doing? He was giving thanks. By giving thanks, we give glory to God. By giving thanks and saying, God, I'm in your will because I'm being thankful today. I'm giving glory to you for the situation I'm in and the circumstance that I am, and I am thankful. And that's one way that we give glory to God. But when we are ungrateful and when we are unthankful and when we do not take time, it's a show that we don't give him truly glory. Couple things I want you to think about. First, number one, why we can be thankful. We already alluded to some of these things. Why we can be thankful. As we see here, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That means in everything, we can be thankful. Number one, we're thankful. We can be thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us. We go back to the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We would not be in this world if it was not for God. I mean, there would be no, I don't care what science tells you or what those humanistic type scientists will tell you that you banged into existence, you came from monkeys, things like that. It's just not true. We can be thankful because there's a God who created us, and there's a God who loves us. There's a God who cares for us. There's a God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There is the Son of God who died for us. We have so much to be thankful, and we got to remember that God can do all things. So we can be thankful all the time because God can take things and he can make things work together for good. Think about what it says in Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good. To them that know God, to them that love God and are the ones called according to his purpose. I know that wasn't the exact quote. I don't have that verse here. But we know that God can take things and make things work together. We can be thankful in the day and time we live in. You say, Pastor, what about me? I'm a little bit sick. Things aren't going the ways I could or should. Well, he says, in all things, give thanks. I think about the Apostle Paul. If anybody thought, hey, we want to keep Paul healthy, we want to keep Paul safe, we want to keep Paul strong so he can continue to minister, he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, three different times, can you take this thorn away from me? Three different times, can you make me healthy? And what does he say? My grace is sufficient.
We can be thankful today. And the reason why we can be thankful is because we know God's in charge and that God can make all things work together. And even if God says, hey, no, I don't want you to be all the way healthy because there's a purpose and plan in it, we can still say, well, praise the Lord. I know you're God and I know you know what's best. We can always be thankful for where we're at. Second thing I want you to think about is why we can be thankful. Second thing is what thankfulness looks like. What thankfulness looks like is when we acknowledge God. We acknowledge what God's done for us. Thankfulness is a time where we take a time and a moment to say, I am thankful for what you've done for me. Sometimes when someone gives you a gift, you'll take the time to write a note, or the person sitting there, you'll look at them and say, thank you. Sometimes in the modern day age, people send text messages. And I don't think that's inappropriate because that's how we communicate lots of times. I will send a text message. My wife is more of a handwritten note person. Some people don't even have to say, I know sometimes it's Christmas morning, kids are getting a lot of gifts, and you say, okay, Johnny, tell so-and-so thank you. You shouldn't have to tell them that, right? They should know that. They need to be trained that way. They need to be taught that way. They acknowledge, hey, I'm thankful for what you did. You don't want to be like the nine that left that said never said thank you. Of course I'm thankful. Why do I have to say it? Because God says you should give thanks. It's a continually a praise that's out of your mouth. Psalms 107 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. The third thing, and this is where we're going to spend just a few more moments on, when thankfulness becomes gratefulness. When thankfulness becomes gratefulness. Now, thankfulness and gratefulness are very similar. It's having a gratitude-type attitude. One person wrote this way, remember that being grateful is about appreciating what one has opposed to what one wants. Being thankful and thanking someone implies you're acknowledging their thanks for something they have done for you. Gratefulness is appreciating what they actually have done. A little bit of a difference, and I want to draw it back, and whether or not that's a perfect example, I don't know. I enjoyed what was the thought behind it, because in the scriptures, that's where it has. There's nine guys there. I'm sure they would say, I'm grateful and thankful. There's one person who shows their gratefulness, shows their appreciation, and it changes their life. They're thankful for it. They appreciate it. So I began thinking, and the Lord laid this upon my heart. Am I really thankful for the things he's given me? I don't serve God in order for God to take care of me. I don't serve God because I want him to bless me. I don't serve God in order to have this, in order to do that. I serve God because of what he did for me. And that's what I want for my life to be. I don't want to serve God because I'm afraid if I stop serving, he's gonna strike me dead. That's not truly being grateful. It's I see what he's done for me, and instead of serving him in order to, I serve him because of who he is, because of what he did, because of who he is. That's why I serve him. That's why I want to be thankful. I want to be grateful. So when I consider the things he's given me, and I just wrote down a few things, and I remembered a song that the trio sang this morning. What would this church be like, or what would church be like if everyone was like me? And I think I've preached that sermon or used that illustration in the last 16 years a few different times because it's such an interesting question. What if everybody in church was just like you? What would the offerings be like? How would church attendance be? Would we even have a Sunday school class? Will we have a Sunday night church or Wednesday night church? Obviously, Sunday morning you're here. But if everybody in church did exactly what you did, boy, our choir would be pretty bad if it was me. Because if everybody sang like me, it wouldn't sound the greatest. We probably wouldn't have choir. We'd have congregational singing, but they wouldn't have special music. If everybody was just like me. So we believe the church is a gift. And many people say, man, I'm so thankful for it. But are you grateful for it? How do you use that gift? Are you faithful? Do you serve? Is it something that you look forward to, that you're a part of? I don't know about you, but sometimes, and once again, gift giving can be a challenge, especially for people you don't know, especially for younger people, especially. There's different things. And sometimes when you give somebody a gift, you can tell they don't like it. It's sort of like when somebody tries to give me a pink tie. They know I don't wear pink, and they turn around and they give it to you, and they're expecting you to look at it and say, man, great, I'm going to change my whole perspective. I'm going to start wearing that pink now just because you gave me something. It's just not. And it's happened. He said, look at me like, does that happen? It's happened a couple of times. Someone last year, and I loved the person who gave it to me, gave me a shirt that has pink in it. And they asked me about it. And I says, I'm thankful for the thought behind it. I says, I just don't usually wear that. You said, you're being ungrateful. Well, I know they know I don't wear pink, and they were trying to push my buttons by giving me something that was pink. So what? How am I supposed to respond? And what does it come to? And there are certain things. Now, if I turn around and gave you a gift, and then you threw it in the trash, would that be being grateful? You could say, oh, thank you very much for the gift, and you just throw it away. You don't ever use it. Once again, I know sometimes people don't always understand certain gifts, certain things. I'm not trying to say about anything I've ever given to anybody. But I am saying he gives us this word. This is a precious gift. I mean, how great is this? You say, I'm thankful for it. We go around the room and we say, thankful for the Bible, thankful for my church, thankful for my relationships. But what do you do with it? Do you read it? You may be thankful for it, but are you grateful for it? Meaning that I appreciate what it is. I'm going to let it change me. I'm thankful for it. I wrote down some different things, the Bible. I'm thankful for it, but do I listen to it? A person who is, I believe, that would be more grateful in the idea of showing the appreciation of and appreciating the gift and using the gift would be someone who would read it, someone who would memorize it, someone who would meditate in it, someone who would obey it, right? I mean, that would be showing the appreciation for the gift. I'm thankful for the Bible, and we all say we're thankful for the Bible, but do we show the appreciation for it? Are we grateful for it? I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, but I don't listen to him. Thankful for church, but I don't come. I'm thankful, and I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know many of you are here and here so regularly and so faithful, but what about our relationships? Thankful for my parents, but I never go see them. Now, my mom and dad are listening right now. They'd probably be up. They'd probably be saying, amen. You need to come see me. I'm thankful for my mates, but I'm going to treat her like trash. That's not being grateful. I'm thankful for, and there's a long list of things, our opportunities. Man, I'm glad I live in America. Amen. I'm glad I get to be a spiritual freedom. I can tell everybody about Jesus Christ. When's the last time you did it? Well, thankful though. So is there a gratitude type attitude that we have? The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for it. Our relationships, my church family, my work family, all those different things. And I just want you to consider, we don't want to be the nine. I don't think many of us would be the nine. I don't think many of us would be walking away without saying thank you. They asked for mercy. They did not ask for something they thought they expected. They asked for something that they realized, we do not deserve this, but will you show me mercy? So it wasn't like somebody saying, well, I deserve this bread anyway. I'm not going to say thank you. It's somebody asking for something. It's just that when they received it, they were so excited about it that it was not going to recognize where it came from. And sometimes I think we get caught up in our lives and we see and we get excited about what God has done or what God has given us, but we don't recognize where it came from. And I just want to encourage you today, and you might not like this morning's message, but does God really want you to say thank you? I think he does. I think we do it through singing, and I think we do it by saying it verbally. I think if we went around the room, we would say, thankful for America. Do we pray for it? Do we vote like we should? Do we get involved where we should? Do we show patriotic type? You know, I'm thankful for this friendship, but then I never ever be a friend. I just want to encourage you today. I think God is pleased when we praise him, when we thank him. And as we take time to acknowledge these things, it gives us a chance to become grateful. It's not just acknowledging there's a Bible. It's realizing there's a Bible and I'm going to use it. That's how thankful I am. I don't know that anybody's ever done this with a gift I've given them, but I've seen people take a gift from somebody else and they just throw it away because they don't want it. which once again, they could give it to somebody else. Isn't that re-gifting is something that people do sometimes? Whatever. But I think about the wonderful things that God has given us. How often do we use it? How often do we show appreciation for it? When's the last time we said, not just said we were thankful, but we let the things that we're thankful for be something that we appreciate and something that we use? The Holy Spirit of God, the church, the Bible, our relationship, our opportunities, the gospel, our family, our country, long list of things for our health. God doesn't keep us healthy so we just do whatever we want, does he? He does his plan, his way. So does God want us to say thank you? I really think he does. Does God want us to teach your kids to say thank you? I think he does. Does God want us to teach your grandkids to say thank you? I think he does. I think he wants us to acknowledge where the things that we're appreciative of. But I think it's a step further than that when it comes to the things he's given us. I'm thankful for the talents God's given me. Praise the Lord for that. But if I had never, ever preached, even though he's called me, would that be really, truly showing my thanks to him? It wouldn't. If I can sing and I never use that talent for God, would that something I'm really, truly saying? I say I'm thankful I can sing, but am I showing that appreciation? So this morning, just give some consideration. None of us want to be that nine. None of us would even say, we'd say what the other nine did. I never thought of it that way. Never thought I should have turned around and said thank you. But you know, when he turned back and he glorified God, you know what it says he did it with? A loud voice. He lifted up his voice. When he saw it, he started praising God. He started glorifying God. You knew who heard it? The other nine. You can say, oh, they just forgot. They were just so excited. I'm pretty sure that this guy is letting out some, he's pretty loud, and he's saying, praise God or thank you or whatever. Those nine would have heard it. They would have saw it. They just weren't interested in it. They got what they needed. They got what they wanted. Why do I got to say thank you anyway? What's the big deal? Well, God tells us to give thanks in all things. Maybe, I'm sure there's probably some areas in my life I need to be better at, need to be more thankful for. I always say I'm thankful for my wife, but do I treat her as good as I should? No, I probably don't. As we've been going through this marriage couple class in the Sunday school, it's like, oh, that's something I need to work on, and there's something I need to work on, and there's something I need to work on. And it reminds me, if I really, truly am thankful and appreciate my wife, I'm going to be grateful for her. I'm going to treat her the way she deserves to be treated. Kids, what about your parents? And I think it's great when they say, I'm really thankful for my parents. It's really cute when they say that, but then they're rotten sometimes and don't ever listen to their parents. She's like, oh, are you really thankful for them? And I know that seems harsh, but the reality is, we don't. If we're truly grateful for what God's doing us, we're going to treat it a little bit better than if we didn't have it. We're not just going to throw it away. We're just not going to trash it. We're going to embrace it. We're going to say, this is his word. I am thankful for it. And I'm not just going to ignore it. I'm going to listen to it. So this morning, I don't know where you're at in your spiritual walk. You might need Jesus Christ today, and you need to get that settled because that's the most important thing in your life that you can do. And believe me, afterwards, if you truly get it, you're going to be thankful and grateful. But don't go out and just live whatever way you want. He didn't save you to go out and live like the world. He saved you so you could become like him, to conform into the image of his son. And that's, I'm so thankful I'm saved. And then I'm going to go act like I never was. There's just something missing. And it's something I think we could work on. At least should give consideration. And maybe your answer is, no, I don't think God really cares if I say thank you. I think it's unscriptural for you to say that, but you might feel that way. Go ahead. But I think that represents the other nine. And he rejoices over the one. He calls him the stranger. The one that if anybody shouldn't have said thank you, it would have been him because he wasn't a Jew. He wasn't who Christ had came at that moment in time. He wasn't. But boy, that he got it, and he praised the Lord, he glorified God, and he says he gave thanks. How do we continually give praise? It says, by giving thanks. So let's give thanks. And let's not just acknowledge it. Let's show appreciation for the gifts that he's given us by using them the way he tells us to. Don't get me wrong. Not all people are going to appreciate all gifts from all people. But he is God. And if he tells you to do something, you should do it. So whether you appreciate it or don't, you should still memorize the Bible. You should still do those things because he's God. Let's pray.